The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen. All right. We are going to do something quickly. Let me just exhort for like 10, 15 minutes. And then, well, as part of the prayer, we'll just continue our exhortation. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay. Let me first explain something to us again. Quickly open your book, your Bible to the book of Matthew. Just something I want to bring out, which we just have to keep explaining so that people will get it. This is a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was explaining something here. I want to just emphasize something to us again from verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, so as to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. That is, anything you do so that men will see you doing them does not bring you any reward." In verse 2, it says, "When therefore you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray," my emphasis now, verse 5, "you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." I like the way King James emphasizes it there, that he will reward you openly. Do you understand that? All right, that's what I just want to bring out to us quickly. Okay? All right, King James says that your Father shall reward thee openly. What I just want to bring out here is the issue of when you pray and the Lord was speaking about reward or being repaid. I've said something before, and I think I have it in one or two of our books. I said that if you ask God for something and he gives it to you, that's not a reward. Is that a reward? That's an answer. That's not a reward. You can't, if I go and ask God, "Please God, give me 25 naira," and he gives me 25 naira, that's not a reward. That's what? An answer. All right? Now, so when he's talking about reward, what he's saying is that, let me just summarize it. If you see, he was talking first there about people who practice their righteousness before men. So he said there are those who give, and they give and make noise about it, make a lot of noise about it. And he said, don't be like that. If you do your giving properly, he said, you will have your reward. Now, he now said that when you pray, now, this is what I'm bringing out here. You see that the prayer he was talking about was not prayer that you prayed for yourself. He was talking about as if you are giving out something. Do you follow what I'm saying? He was talking initially about giving out money. The next thing he now talked about giving out prayer. I hope you are getting what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So, if you see that there's a kind of prayer, that's what's bringing out here, in which you are not asking anything for yourself, but it's like you are giving out the prayer. It's just like money. You give out money. If you did a display of it, he said you don't get any reward with God. In the same manner, he said, if you are praying and you display the prayer, then you have no reward. It shows you something. I said that the answer to prayer is not a reward. Do you follow my point? But what he's describing is a kind of prayer in which you are not praying for yourself. You are not asking for yourself. And that's why you see, later on, I'm not going to discuss that now. Actually, what he was explaining is talking about praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. No Pharisee. He was talking about Pharisees. They will not come openly and be shouting and praying for the new wife they want to marry. That's not what they are going to do. Do you follow my point? What they used to pray, that they stand, I would say they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners, is when they are praying for the restoration of the kingdom. All right? They are praying as if they have a passion for Israel. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. And Jesus said that when you pray like that, and you are making an open show about it, you don't get anything. But that's not what I want to emphasize. What I want to emphasize is the fact that there's a kind of prayer that you pray, and God says there is a reward attached to that prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? And let me explain something to us again. You know, I was telling my wife, and I were discussing again over the weekend, that she was asked, was it over the weekend? Yes, after Saturday, that I preached about spiritualism and spirituality again. If you're not around, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I said something. She told me, this was on Sunday evening, gave me an illustration of something that somebody said, and she said, is that spirituality or spiritualism? I said, that's spiritualism. And I said to you that I realized, okay, she was what I was telling. And I now understand why those days, the faith message, you know, those of you who know much about it, they were criticized extensively for practicing either mind over matter or Christian science or different things like that. And now that I have more understanding, over the years I've studied and I have meditated and I've observed these things, I think those who criticized the faith message then, they were right to a large extent. Do you get my point? Or to an extent, they were right. They were right because some of the people who taught faith, they didn't know when they left spirituality and went into spiritualism. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. Please, this is what Christianity is. This is spirituality. The impression we have is that we never can get anything from God except we ask for it. Do you get my point? Listen, let me say something. There are two ways God pours things into your life. One, or at least two, among the many ways they possibly are. Let me bring out two. One, when you ask him directly for something. Alright? And then number two, there are things you don't ask for, but you do certain things in life, and the consequence, the natural consequence, the reward that God pours forth upon such actions is that thing that you are not going to get. Let me explain. When Solomon prayed, he did not pray for wealth. He did not pray for riches. He did not pray for the life of his enemy. He did not pray for long life. And even God Almighty remarked it that he didn't ask for those things. But what did he say? I will give them to you. What was he saying there? As a reward for praying the right kind of prayer. Let me say this to you again, if it interests you. When you spend all night praying about your problems, you won't get much from God. Did you hear what I said? Most of the things you need in life, you don't know you need them. I'm telling you. There are vitamins you are lacking right now. You don't know you lack those vitamins. I'm telling you, many years ago, in fact, let me just give an example. In Asia, just to make it real, vitamin deficiency. You know the way you eat rice anyhow, all right? In the times of difficulty, all right, there are things that only rich people eat. Rice is one of those things in those countries, all right? You have to be rich to eat rice all the time. Are you following what I'm saying? Except that when you eat rice all the time, you become deficient in some crucial vitamins. So you find rich people with sick children, because they are always eating rice, and they now become deficient in vitamin B1. All right, you've heard of they tell you those days, beriberi. You've heard of, if you did biology, all right. These are vitamin deficiencies, and until science advanced to the level to explain it to them, until Western science came and said, look, the problem is that what to say is rich man's food is what is causing this problem. You need to eat other things. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. They had money, so they ate the food that made them sick. What am I saying? A lot of things you need in life, you don't even know you need them. Those who needed vitamin B, a certain type of vitamin B, they didn't have it, even though they had money. That is, if they had to ask God, give me something, one thing they would never have asked him for was vitamin B1. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't understand. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
thank you. Now, this is what I'm making. A lot of things you need in life, you don't know you need them. There are those who are praying unnecessary prayers, and we do that a lot. That's the habit of Christians, especially those who pray a lot without reading the Bible. Listen, anybody you see that's always praying, without studying the Bible or listening to the Word of God more than he's praying wrongly. Half of those prayers, they don't get effect. Let me say it again. It borders on spiritualism. Some of the things we practice in Christianity, especially Pentecostalism, is pure spiritualism. You wake up in the morning and confess 25 times, you are slipping away from spirituality into spiritualism. You are trying to control things in life just by all these repetitions. Jesus called them vain repetitions. Pentecostals are good at vain repetitions that they call confession. There's a fine line, though. Please, don't get me wrong. There's a very fine line separating one from the other. Two of them look very much alike. A Christian should confess the word of God, but shouldn't spend all his time confessing. In Jesus' name, I have a blue curtain. In Jesus' name, I have a blue curtain. In Jesus' name, I have a new house. In Jesus' name, I have a new house. That's the one is spiritualism. It's not spirituality. We should learn to confess that indeed my life is in God's hands and I have all that I need to meet all my needs. Alright? At every point in time. Say that one and leave it there. By the time you start dancing around a particular land, say, in Jesus' name I receive it. In Jesus' name I receive it. That one is no longer spirituality. Israel never went around jumping around. In Jesus' name I receive. The God said, come. There is a land I promised to your fathers. And he led them there. Now I'm bringing an issue about prayer. If we do the right things, many things will be poured into our lives without our ever asking for them. It was never a prayer point for Solomon that he would be the richest king that the world ever saw. It was never a prayer point. God came and said, let me give you anything you will ask for. Now go ahead, exercise yourself, think. What do you want? He asked for what was simple. But because he had his mind, I thought about it then in spiritual economy, what I call the king's heart. Because he had his mind on the assignment of God for his life. Because he had his mind on the love that he had for the nation of Israel. Because he wanted to exercise the office of a king fruitfully. God said, because of that, he asked for one thing, wisdom. And God said, because you did not ask for other things, therefore I will give them to you. What does that tell you? Most of the good things in life that you will get will not come to you because you asked for them. They will come to you because you did what was pleasing in the sight of God. Are you getting my point? When God gave the Shunammite woman a son, the woman was not even interested. But because she showed love and honor to the prophet of God, because of that, God gave her a son that she did not ask for. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Now let's not leave the matter of prayer. Therefore, I said before that on Saturday, we talked about sowing seed into the realm of the spirit. I reminded us that good works is what? Seed into the realm of the spirit. And from there, we will now reap certain kinds of harvest. There are different false fields in life. And one of those good works that we do is a matter of praying prayers that are not for ourselves. Are you getting my point? Are you following what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said there is prayer with what? Reward. That if you shout the prayer as to impress people, you don't get anything. But if you pray that kind of prayer, all right, alone, in your closet, which shows that you're not doing it for the reward, you're not doing it because you want to get anything, you are doing it because of the love that you have, all right, for somebody, for the nation, for the work of God, for the church of Christ, all right, for the body of believers on the earth. God, because of that, he will give you something you did not ask for. And I said today we'll pray for the country, all right? And I want to explain it. You see, there's nothing you do in obedience to the word of God that does not have a reward attached. The problem, let me say it again, because I've said it several times before. The problem with a lot of us is that we don't realize that we cannot dictate which reward. Are you getting my point? And I like to say this in and say so that everybody will believe it. You cannot wake up and say, I am going to pray this prayer. Pastor Banky said that if I pray a prayer for the nation, God is going to bless me. So now, let me start praying this prayer for the nation that God can remember to bless me with the kind of job I like. God said, no, that kind of prayer that you're praying for the country, I'm going to attach it to long life. You follow what I'm saying? And you won't know. Let me say it again. I said this one again before. The key to the release of God's power is what? The continual, God bless you, the continual doing of good works. The Bible says, sow your seed in the morning, and at night, don't get tired of praying. Now, I keep on modifying the words so that we can get the meaning. So at night, don't withhold your hands, because you don't know which one will prosper. What I'm trying to make out here is this. You are sowing seeds towards long life. You don't know which seed is that for long life. Just packing, sounds funny, just packing properly without obstructing the movement of everybody else can be the seed for prosperity that you're asking for. But after you have used your car to block a whole street and disturb everybody else's movement, you now come to church and sow a seed towards prosperity. Because they look at this boy. His car is obstructing other people's movement. And he knows. And he says, let them wait till I finish what I'm doing. Then he's sowing a seed towards prosperity. Are you getting my point? Listen, Christians, don't ever forget. I said that on Saturday. It is still fundamental to Christianity for us to do good works. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? It is still what? Fundamental to Christianity. Now let's sit on the matter of prayer. Therefore, what Jesus was teaching us here is this. When we are praying, alright, and the focus of the prayer is not what I will eat, incidentally, I don't think Jesus expects us to spend much time. In fact, very little time he expects us to spend on those things. quickly dispense of them. They come to your heart, pray about them in one line, give God thanks for it and forget. There are things that you should spend your energy on, and we're going to take one of them again today, all right? Like praying for a country. When you spend your energy on that, God says, I will reward you. With which reward you may not know, but that there will be a reward is most certain. Do you get the point? So when you rise up in the morning, or when you go to the church, if you go to the church where they do a lot of all-night vigils, if you go for the first vigil, it's prayer for your protection. The second vigil is prayer for prosperity. The third vigil is prayer for your long life. The fourth vigil is prayer against those who don't like you. Don't go for the fifth one. You have wasted enough time. Okay, you don't need, you see those things, you can pray them in 5 minutes. 1 minute for blessing, second 1 minute for protection. I mean, we have these prayers we read, you understand? Our divine incantations. Just use that one. You don't need to go for all-night prayer to pray about your enemies. That is not necessary. Just get a copy of our divine incantations and recite them in the morning. It's the word of God. And that takes care of all of those things. But what you spend all night praying are things that generally don't concern. Now, I don't mean they don't concern you at all. It's not about you as a person. A friend is sick. You take time to pray for the person. A nation is in trouble. You take time. I mean, you think Lord Jonathan is sleeping well? The moment Umar Musa Yar'Adua traveled that time to Saudi Arabia for treatment, that was the last good night's sleep that Brother Johnny had. After that, it's turmoil. You think it is? It's not an easy thing. I was reading a paper yesterday that Obasanjo and Danjuma are disagreeing on who should be vice president. And there's somebody in the center. His name is Goodluck Jonathan. You think it's an easy thing? I was watching on Heart Talk, BBC. What is our brother's name? Nuri Badu was being interviewed on BBC. And he described all the travails of his soul. After they shot at him twice, he ran away from the country. Described how a man gave him $15 million in cash. So he was all pursuing him. The same man is now coming back home that our late president, who we punished very well, all right? After he has died, all right? The man now wants to return. You think it's an easy deal? Jonathan is sitting in the center of all of this. Oh boy, it's not easy. You turn like this, Obaz go vex. And if Obaz vex, you know, life is not easy for you again. You turn like this, T.Y. Danjuma and Co. We think you're not listening to us. That Nuhur Badu is coming back. There are many people that have become enemies to good Lord Jonathan. Just that the idea that a man called Nuhur Badu is coming back to the country. Listen, you want God's blessings? I'll tell you how to get it. Take a night and say this evening, before dinner, or the whole night if you can, it's good. I will pray for good Lord Jonathan. You know, Samuel said, God forbid, he said it to Saul, he said it to Israel, God forbid I should sin against him in not praying for you. For us to pray certain prayers, it becomes a matter of iniquity as far as God is concerned. It's very easy to buy a newspaper and say, what is wrong with this man? Is he stupid? Anytime my friends are now analyzing, you know, the late president, Yar'Adua, I'm a doctor, right? I know he would have lived much longer if he didn't take that job. Or the moment he began to feel ill, if he had resigned. But every time we are saying it, we always add something that is not as easy as that. When you enter certain positions, you are not in position for yourself alone. You can't just wake up and resign, even if you are sick. Especially in Nigeria. No, it's not easy. It's not easy. I remember those days, you know, when Abacha was after he died, and people were persecuting Antoniani. How many of you remember Antoniani? All right? He said the man took $5 million from Abacha. That why should he take it? He's an accountant. I said, all of you should shut up. You now go and become minister under Abacha. Let him give you money. Don't take it. The man didn't spend the money. When the man died, he brought the money out. This is the money. He just said, hey, why should he take it? I'm not saying you take it. That's it. But I'm saying you that say, don't take it. You go and become minister first. Let a wicked soul like Abacha give you money. Don't take it. You don't know what they're telling him. He said, oh God, you are wicked. I won't take your money. And the man said, let me show you wickedness. Now, I'm trying to make an issue here. It's easy to sit there at home, point a finger, and start talking. You know, when I read the news on 2, 3, 4 next, Then the man they have comments at the bottom. I know they agree with those comments because they are very annoying. After they analyze one, everybody will be talking the rubbish in their mouth. People who have never been under pressure to make the decisions for 1 million naira, they are telling you what the president should do with $1 billion. Isabel, get away. You don't know what is going on. What am I saying? What's the duty of a believer? Instead of just sitting down and commenting, I say, when you get home today, or even from now, you will raise your voice and pray for the current president. According to, what's her name? Mama Information Minister. Dora, she likes to call it fool. Good luck, Ebele Jonathan. I see, so that you won't be in doubt concerning which good luck we are talking about. Because there are so many good lucks now all over the country. Many people have been born now with the name combined already. Good luck, Jonathan. That is, as a born like this. Good luck, Jonathan. So the woman makes sure you don't make a mistake. Our president, good luck, Ebele Jonathan. No, we need to take time out and pray. Just sitting down. Say, let him run in 2011. Let him not run in 2011. No. The Bible makes it very clear. It's our responsibility. I'm emphasizing something here. That is what God looks at and gives you things that you did not ask for. You can only ask for what you know you need. Most of the things you ask for are the things you want, not the things you need. Do you get my point? It's only when a need has become, you have become aware of it, that it becomes a want. According to Mike Modock, men don't reach for what they need, they only reach for what they want. And my own explanation is that they are not aware of their needs. But God is the one that supplies your needs according to his riches. And that's what Paul said. Paul was not saying, ask God for it. He said, because you have exercised yourself in giving towards the sponsorship of this ministry, therefore, my God shall supply all your needs. Not what you want. Many things you need in life, you don't want them. There are those who need discipline. They don't want it. Every child needs discipline. He doesn't want it. But when you are walking in a manner pleasing to God, he gives you that which you don't realize you need, but indeed that you need. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, one of the things we do, therefore, I'm emphasizing again, is when we make prayers and supplications, not for ourselves, but for other people, for a nation, do you get my point? For a group of people, for a church, for the body of Christ on the earth. There are times, you know, it's very easy to sit down and abuse all the preachers who are always going around squeezing people for their money, you know. You don't talk to me before. Oh my God, this preacher. It's a simple prayer you can pray. You can pray, dear Lord, and listen, let me add another one to it. I've said it before anyway. I just need to keep saying that we'll never forget. Prayer has doses. Do you hear what I said? They have measures. If God says, I need 100,000 doses of prayer to solve this problem, each time you open your mouth, it may be 5 doses you are putting in. And it accumulates until it is full, and God releases the fullness of his manifestation to solve that issue. What I'm saying is that instead of just commenting and commenting, don't ever forget. Remember once some of my friends, we sat down and analyzed this issue of the body of Christ, the teaching and all of that was going on, that were not right. Then before we were about to say, okay, bye-bye, we'll see later. I said, we can't go. We cannot go like that. We're about 4 or 5. After everything we have discussed, let us finish it properly. We now stood there, and for the next 15 minutes, we were praying for the body of Christ concerning wrong doctrine. Concerning, we specifically asked, there are those who are in ministry because of wickedness.
Yeah, you understand my wickedness?
They know what they are preaching is wrong. They don't care that it's wrong. They will continue as long as God gives them a door, all right, to say that which is wrong because it's producing money for them. So we ask simply that such men, Lord, shut them up. It's a very powerful prayer. Confuse their movement. Close doors that were open to them. There are those who don't know that what they are doing is wrong. For such people, we pray the simple prayer. Say, Lord, give them understanding that they may repent from these things that they are doing. And there are those who are speaking the truth, and they don't have the avenue, all right, to shout it loud. So we pray. Say, God, give them platforms. Those who will speak the truth in love, those who will speak the pure word of God, open doors for them that they might broadcast this word for many people to hear. Simple prayers. 15 minutes, we're done. And one thing I know for sure is that God heard. And he added it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? That's what it means to pray a prayer that has reward. So today, I said I was going to talk for a few minutes. Well, it's been a few minutes now. So what we're going to do today, like I told us last time, is that we are going to lift up our voice and pray for our country, especially at this time. It's you know, anytime you see something happen in the realm of the physically, something happened first in the spiritual realm. Alright? And physical things give you an indication of what is going on. And something happened recently. I won't give you details, but please listen to this. Which it encouraged me actually. There was something that was in my heart actually concerning, okay, let me give you a bit of details. I said it all the time that this is one thing my boss, where I work, I won't tell you whether it's the university or the hospital, alright, can do. And he will never be forgotten. And I kept on saying that thing. Now, listen to me. I kept on saying it. Every time I would discuss with people, I said, this is one thing this man can do. And I said, oh, if God will just open a door so that I will give him this counsel. Do you understand my point? Now, I kept on saying that. I've been saying it for months. Then, I was in the man's office yesterday. Anyway, he said, okay, I asked whether I would be in the office on Monday. He said, yes. So, Monday, I got to his office. He wasn't there yet. I went to my office. I told somebody to keep checking. When they came, they called me that our guy's in the office. Anyway, let me make it long story short. A little delay here and there. There's another person, another senior colleague wanted to see him. And me, we now entered the office at the same time with another young man. In the course of this, I heard the other young man give a report on something to the big boss. After I was asking that, what are you talking about? He told me. I kept on asking him questions. Now listen to this. Everything I've been saying for months, that if he can do like this, if he do like this, this will work like this, it will be so perfect. I didn't know that the man was doing it. I don't know what I get my point. And the young man who worked with my senior colleague into the office at the same time with me was giving a report on how far they had gone. So the guy and I began to chat. I was asking him, okay, are you doing like this? Yes. How will you handle this matter? So like, what if you do it like this? I said, okay, I'll consider that. I said, don't forget, I told you that that's a possible way to do it. He said, okay, I'll remember it when we're going to the next step. He and I talked for a long time. When I left the place, something came to my heart. Now, I'm not saying this is what happened, though. Are you getting my point? But I just realized that. Now, this is possibly what happened, but I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm not going to brag, hey, spiritual man, see, I was just commanding. As I was commanding, he was hearing. That was not what happened. Do you get my point? I was not commanding anything. I was wishing. I was talking. But something came to my mind. And this spiritual things actually work like that. It is possible. Because the Bible says something that, be careful what you say in secret place, that the bird of the air will take it and go and whisper it in the ear of the ruler. Are you following my point? So maybe it was the intercession of my heart, I don't know, but it's possible. But that taught me something. Don't ever assume that nothing is going on. If people keep on telling you, this country is dead, don't believe them. Many things you are wishing for are currently being engineered. And if you open your mouth and start saying, this country is dead, those things start dying. I said something then, when Obasanjo said that, by the end of, which year did he say? Either 2002 or 2003, whatever, we'll have either 6,000 megawatts and power will not fill in Nigeria again and all of that. People say, And we'll twist their nose. I use you. Let's forget it now. It can happen in this country. It cannot happen. And then the year came, ended. And did it happen? No. What did they say? We said so. Meanwhile, the devil was rejoicing. Dancing. Yes, they said so. Because they said so, it didn't happen. If they didn't say so, it will have happened. But thank you all for agreeing with me that nothing good will happen to you. Thank you all for agreeing. And the devil was dancing and rejoicing. That look at these people. They keep on saying, we said so. No, not knowing that we said so is the reason why it was so according to what they said. God said, as I hear you say in my ears, exactly what I will do to you. Are you getting my point? Therefore, one day, just to add to it, one day one of my students, very smart boy, entered my office to come and see me about something. I kicked him out of there. I told him, get out of my sight. You know why? Because he opened his mouth in my presence and said, Nigeria cannot experience uninterrupted power failure. And I asked him, why not? He said, his father works in Nepal. In my mind, your father is among those who make sure it's not possible anyway. We'll soon sack him. Yes, when we sack him, we will do it. He said, sir, minimum wage is only 7,000 naira. I said, you are very stupid. Did they say maximum wage? What did they say? What did they say? What did they say?
minimum. I said, what's wrong with this boy? He said, get up out of my office now. I kicked the boy out.